Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast 008. And today we're talking all about evidence and experience, what we prefer, what is good, what are the differences between the two, and there are a vast ocean of differences. So, as always, I'm joined by the Paranormal Guide crew. I've got Paul to my left.
How you going, everyone?
He's the tech guy. We've got Tash, the spiritual medium for the team.
Hi, how you going?
And we've got Debbie, the reporter and feet on the street.
Good to be back. Everyone's looking fantastic as usual.
Really? Are you talking to the audience you can't see or just the people in this room?
I'm talking to the audience.
That will be lies for some of you, I'm sure. Some of our listeners are undoubtedly hideous. And
lovely. Yeah.
Well, we got some rather off-putting looking ghosts listening, no doubt. Come on.
That's our PR guy. Thank you.
That's right. I'm the PR guy as well, and I'm Ashley Hall, your host. So yeah, we're talking all about evidence and experience. So guys, when it comes to the paranormal, give us a brief rundown. Evidence and experience. What do the two mean in this field, in this community?
Evidence is proof of paranormal existence. Obviously, something caught on tape, something permanent. So it could be video, could be audio, could be a whole bunch of machines going off or detectors going off, something like that. As where experience is something that you felt yourself, seen yourself, but hasn't been captured at all.
But there are two different types of experience. We'll ask Tash about spiritual experience with the paranormal. So what is a spiritual experience someone can have with the paranormal?
There's lots of different things, like just sensing a spirit, if you're sensitive, like myself, like feeling someone watching you, or maybe even hearing footsteps down a hallway. That's a spiritual experience. Yeah, there's lots of different things.
And Debbie, what's an experience someone can have if they're not psychically in tune with the ether?
I like to think that I might see a shadow or a reflection in a mirror or a window or something like that. And I'm going to try and be ethereally aware in the future.
Ethereally aware. And when I said ether, I kind of got a bit of a snort of derision from Tash. Why is that? Is that the wrong term?
See, I don't know. It just sounded strange.
Yeah. Fair enough. So, guys, let's talk a little bit about our own experiences and evidence. So, first of all, some experiences. So, I want everyone to give me their greatest, personal experience. Not evidence, experience to begin with. So, we'll start off with Debbie this time. Debbie, give us one experience that you've had with, well, that you believe to be paranormal. Of course, we can't prove it to be, but that you believe to be paranormal.
Three of us together in a vehicle saw a person in a window looking out at Glenside Hospital, and we all saw it at the same time.
Well, you say it like that, it doesn't sound like a potentially paranormal experience at all.
This is in an abandoned building, and it just sort of walked into the room and pretty much vanished right in front of us.
Okay, and that was the admin building, no doubt.
That was the admin building.
We don't have to keep too many secrets about Glenside now. It's pretty well looked after.
Yeah. Now, the admin building at Glenside, it was dark. They had the lights on inside the building. We looked up, oh, my God, can you see that? Can you see that? The long story short, they called the cops. They called the security. They called a dog to sniff out if there was someone in there. Dog went to exactly the room that we saw the body in the window and was barking at nothing.
Interesting.
Wow.
Wow. Well, you're next, Tash. We can judge your experience.
You can judge it as much as you like. It's my personal experience. I've had many paranormal experiences. I think the one that's probably different, speaks out to most for me, is I had someone close to me when I was at a very young age, 14, die. Throughout her whole life, she used to sing karaoke. And one of her songs that she used to sing was The Greatest Love of All. A couple of months after she passed away, I was listening to SAFM and it was the top 40. So you can imagine it was pretty pop songs and, you know, Michael Jackson sort of era. So it was sort of dancey sort of music. And I used to speak to her in my mind. And I remember lying on the bed listening to this music and saying to myself, just give me a sign that you're here. Just something. And then all of a sudden her song came on the radio.
Wow. There you go, Paul.
Well, I've had many experiences. I don't know if they were paranormal. Probably the scariest experience was driving to work one day, and what I believe was a jogger jumped out in front of the car, and he wasn't there. He was gone. I didn't hit anything, and it was, I've said it before, so but now I'm starting to doubt it, as with other experiences. For example, when we were at Surveston the other week, we saw an orb fly past, and this thing was bright, and we could see it with our naked eye.
Yes.
We were pretty tripped out, because I'm not a believer of orbs.
I'll tell you right now, straight away, Paul said, oh my God, I've seen an orb with my eye. We better debunk this, because I can't start believing.
All people to see.
And we found it. There was a hole in the floor above us, and someone walked past with a torch, and it shone through the hole, and it looked like an orb flying past. And we found it.
Yep.
Which was quite satisfying.
Yes, another orb bites the dust.
Yeah. Other than that, there's a lot of strange, eerie feelings. You get those cold spots when you walk through a location. Are they paranormal? I'm not sure.
Paul,
definitely not evidence, but...
I'm looking at your hands.
Oh, yes, that too.
This is a good one. Yeah, this is a good one, because this is different kind altogether.
Well, yeah. Well, my daughter, when she was very young, had a... I believe it was psoriasis. They did say it could be dermatitis. And when my mother passed away recently, I asked her in spirit, in prayer, if you can do something, give me her dermatitis and take it away. And Abby's is gone, and my hands are just cactus. They're flaking, they're irritable, they're painful, and I'm glad it's me, not her.
And I've asked everyone to share these experiences for one very good reason, because you're all sitting at home listening to them, but guess what? There's no way these guys can prove to you that these... Well, A, that these happened. I'm sure they did, and we won't call them a liar. But there's nothing to say that they're paranormal to begin with. There's nothing to it. Like, they're just a story, and that's what an experience is. If it's not your own experience, all you're doing is getting a story from another person. So how much store do you guys here put into another person's experience?
If I know the integrity of the person who's telling me the story, I'm not going to doubt them. But again, like, it's a personal thing. So I'm going to enjoy their story. And yeah, I wouldn't doubt them.
Well, I'm pretty open-minded person, and I've experienced way more than what I've just told you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't take or discredit anyone for their story or their experience. That's part of my role anyway.
Yeah.
Paul.
Oh, we've got to believe people to an extent, so I'll take everything as what people are telling me is the truth. I'll try to analyze it. If we can recreate it in an investigative sort of way, if we can recreate it, it's definitely worth a shot. I mean, when you go on locations, all you're doing is listening to stories and seeing if you can experience that same thing or capture that same thing as evidence if you can. But it's all about recreation and in a controlled environment, which is what evidence is.
If it wasn't for a story, an investigation wouldn't begin.
I was just about to say that very fact.
Wow, that was psychic.
There you go. See, there's an experience right there for us. A psychic experience between myself and Debbie. Both of us psychic doorknobs, I believe.
Exactly.
So, exactly. So, it's really these stories and these experiences that people share that bring you an interest to a location. But once you get to that location, what are we trying to do? We're trying to find evidence of the paranormal. Some people are just trying to go there for an experience, but for us investigators, and there are a lot of people that will disagree with this, that investigators are just trying to find evidence of the paranormal, but if we're not trying to find evidence, we're not going to be going in there with gadgets. Are we?
That's it. We're analysing, not trying to find it. So that's the way I take it, is we're not going in there looking for it. We're analysing whatever we can find.
Yeah. So the second question for you guys, evidence. What's a piece of evidence that you have seen or caught for yourself that is paranormal? And don't worry too much about, you know, having definitely been paranormal, just something that was a bit out of the ordinary that you caught on some form of physical media or something, that you could show to another person and say, look, this is interesting. Debbie.
Footsteps again within Glenside Hospital. I was filming on the second floor by myself about 6 or 7 o'clock, standing in one of the ward rooms, and holy hell, boot thumping footsteps walking down the hallway.
And they were loud.
They were loud, and I'm so glad someone else actually heard them. Ash heard them.
I did. Well, it was on YouTube for a while, but then you took it down because the whole Glenside thing was people didn't want it to be known it was haunted, and you didn't want to be responsible for Hooners gone out there.
No, that's right. So I did take it down, and sadly, yeah, virus lost now, but I'm just so glad that at least a couple of people did see that it happened. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Stomping footsteps right outside the door. Tash.
Okay, mine's the same story as well.
Really? You got yeah. some footsteps.
No, not the footsteps, but mine correlates with the same story that I just told about my experience. So after this friend of mine passed away, she actually passed away pretty tragically in a car accident. I won't go into too much detail about it. Where she passed, we put up a cross and we... We're taking photos of the cross because this was in Queensland and her family was down here in Adelaide. So we were taking photos of the cross so people could see what we had done, like what memorial piece we'd done for her. And at her wake, we were taking photos. When the films got developed, and this is going back to before digital. So when the films got developed, there was actual magnified ants all over her mum in these photos.
What?
There was, it sounds really weird, but in all of the photos of her mum, it looked like magnified ants. So it looked like an ant had got into the camera somehow and was stuck there. But they were only on photos of her mum. In this same film, when we took the photos of her memorial, there was actually a baby's face on her cross. And this lady who passed, she could not have children. We didn't know the reason why until she obviously had her autopsy. Yeah. But there was a photo of the cross, and in different positions on the cross, there was a baby's face, clear as day, on the cross.
Any significance with ants for her?
Well, we did get, from what I believe, because I was only 14 at the time, from what I believe, the camera was taken in, the camera was pulled apart, there was nothing in the camera, there was nothing in the film, but I have no idea what the ants signified. But she was a bit of a prankster anyway, so she would have probably done that. Also, just quickly, same lady, same story, on the day of her funeral, and this isn't evidence because I didn't capture it, but other people did witness it. On the day of her funeral, my shoes were locked in the car, in the car garage. Now, we had a bird aviary, but it had no birds in it. And if people know me, they know that I have a massive fear of birds. Anyway, we were all getting ready, and I had to get my shoes out of the car. So I went and got my shoes out of the car, and I put my foot in it, and something made a noise. Took my foot out, screamed as I did, and her brother actually pulled out a bright yellow budgie from my shoe.
That's a bit weird. We're going to cut quickly to Paul because everyone wants to forget the story about the ants and baby's faces and the budgies in the shoes because that's just bizarre.
Did you squash it?
No, it was alive. It was actually right. Alive. Picked it up and it flew away. So,
Paul, wow. Evidence.
I don't think I've got any. I've got EVPs and all that.
We'll talk us through an EVP then.
Okay. The closest thing I have to evidence, what I believe, at St. Cecilia's, I was lying on a bed. Everyone was feeling really uncomfortable. And
just a quick background. St. Cecilia's is an old mansion that was built by the first, a South Australian-born bishop.
Anyway, we were in one of the rooms. There wasn't much activity going on, and the guy who was hosting the investigation, or one of the guys what was hosting the investigation, asked, is anyone Catholic? Maybe the priest doesn't want to show himself to people who aren't. And I said, well, I'm Catholic. And just as I said that, we recorded in a voice in the background what sounds to me definitely like, hey, Bishop, you can kiss that boy. Which was quite freaky, because not that... I heard it then, but when I got home, I heard it. But later on that evening, in another room, everyone was feeling really uncomfortable. And I said I felt great, really warm, comfortable. And next minute, I said I felt like someone just kissed me on the back of the neck. And that's probably about an hour later, but we heard the EVP just a bit before that.
Did you actually hear the EVP recording before, no, and you didn't hear it until you reviewed when you got home.
Because I'm so efficient about going through my EVPs, I heard it about a month and a half, 2 months later, which was awesome.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's evidence. And now, can we put more store in evidence than you would in someone's experience?
No.
Why is that, Paul?
Because depending on who that person is that had that experience, for us personally, we can it could be exactly the same thing. For example, my daughter's experience to me is evidence for me.
Yeah.
Same as my dad's experiences. Same sort of thing.
Okay. And has anyone seen any evidence besides evidence they've caught themselves, because there is a bias there and because you know more about the background story about what happened, but has anyone here seen evidence that has convinced them that something paranormal is going down in what you've been shown?
Yes. Paul's going to hate me.
Oh, God. Is it the ghost box? Is it an orb?
No. It's actually a TV show. And,
Is it Most Haunted?
Yes. I'm not going to say anything really bad. Years and years ago, when they first came out and they had that dark lady, she was a medium. I can't even remember her name. But Most Haunted didn't actually pick this evidence up, but I saw it with my own eyes. They were in some haunted mansion and they were standing in a hallway and they heard a noise, and I could actually see the silhouette of another lady walking down the hallway and walk through that lady. I can't remember what actual episode it was, but I did see it with my own eyes, and Most Haunted didn't actually see it even when they reviewed it.
Bloody hell. Maybe you saw something on a spiritual plane.
Yeah, maybe I saw something that they don't see obviously any of didn't their see
evidence.
It.
they're running from their evidence.
Yeah, that's.
And I mean, I'm not going to bag their show, but I mean, a chair can move due to.
You are bagging their show.
It was an actual apparition walking down the hallway, and they didn't say anything about it, so maybe I saw it myself and no one else.
A lot of these shows that does happen. I mean, even Ghost Adventurers, a lot of the viewers do put on some of the extra evidence what they didn't catch on their shows too. So
okay.
They're probably so busy faking shit, Tash, that the one piece of actual evidence they got...
All I know is that if I want to get Yvette Fielding on the show, I'm getting Tash to go talk to her and say, just ignore the other two that I'm with. Paul's not there for the interview. Okay, so we're going to go hit the streets again. Well, Debbie's going to. We're going to take a quick break. And when we're going to come back, Debbie's gone out and asked people what they think. What kind of evidence does it take for them to, well, see if something's paranormal or not? I described that really badly. When we get back, we'll get Debbie to do that. See you after the break.
Are ghosts real? Do the dead still roam? Could those stories really be true? Book a ghost tour with Haunted Horizons and find out for yourself. Or, why not journey into the much darker side of human nature and book onto one of our dark history crime tours through Gawler or Adelaide City Centre? Ring 0407 715 866. Or go to the Haunted Horizons website at adelaidehauntedhorizons.com.au.
If you're looking for top quality Australian-made paranormal equipment, look no further than Apparition Technologies. Making everything from EM pumps to shadow detectors and much more. Apparition Technologies, Australia's leading paranormal equipment manufacturer. Find us on facebook.com/apparitiontechnologies.
Welcome back, everybody. Finland Street, so this is Debbie's turn. Debbie, what'd you do?
I wandered around and I asked people a question, as we always do, and I got some really cool and interesting responses this time, I reckon. If someone was said to be haunted, what evidence would you need to believe it?
What evidence would I need? Well, as I think in a case where a person's presence, I don't like that word haunting, I don't, I'm afraid, because unfortunately a lot of people associate hauntings as something unpleasant. I think some situation where a person who's who wants to show their presence. That's what I think. I would like to experience it myself. Yeah. And it's probably rare because I think there's maybe people who've gone to another world, if I could use that word, they might need to come and say something to somebody, and it's very, very rarely it happens. So,
well, I'd have to go and see it myself. If you saw something that you don't see in your normal day, you'd just know, wouldn't you? Yeah. It's out of the norm of reality.
You should personally, see that in person, then only you can believe it. Or else, listening to someone and believing it's not right.
What evidence do you want to see to prove a place is haunted? I would believe that jails would be haunted anyway, haunted by people that are locked up in case they're out, because they might have been good or bad or whatever, but I suppose there would be spooky feelings and see things moving in the dark, or you get freaked out and spine chills somewhere, or you might actually see the person and they might talk to you.
Oh, you see a fucking doctor's certificate first, because that person's obviously fucking crazy. Seriously, come on. When they see doctor's certificate, then I believe there's maybe there's something there, but nah, fuck that. Fucking Looney Tunes.
Well, you may have noticed there was a couple of bleeped out segments in that last gentleman talking. Debbie, where were you? Where the hell did you get someone like that? That was hilarious.
Watch out for the Russians, that's all I can say. I was lucky to go to a couple of parties it made it a little bit easier. So I just hijacked people who were at this party, and I actually didn't know all of those people that I was speaking to, except for the last guy. I do know him. That's why it's all nice and clear and indoors.
You obviously don't talk to him very much about your hobbies.
No.
So have you given him your doctor's certificate?
Oh, it's in the mail.
What I found interesting is no one really wanted to answer about evidence. They were just talking about experiences, and they said they want to experience it for themselves. They're not exactly going to believe anything anyone else says. And to me, that's a little close-minded, but I still understand what they're saying. So obviously the last guy doesn't care, but when you listen to him in the next show, stay tuned for the next show about jails, because he has something very funny to say about jails. But so guys, what do you think? So the public there, Debbie's party goers, most of them just want to experience stuff themselves. They don't really care about the evidence. Debbie?
Yeah, wasn't it? The question included both parts, but most people concentrated on the evidence, so they kind of ignored the other half of the question, which
the experience, you mean?
The experience, yeah. Yep. They ignored the experience and they just said, oh no, well, I'd want to see this. So, yeah.
Well, that's probably why we're so slack about going through our evidence, is because we're in it for the experience too. I mean, we might as well just watch a show if we're going to do it ourselves. It's all about the experience. That's what gives you the adrenaline. That's what gives us the motivation to keep going.
And that's also what fuels the shows as well, is their experience, not so much the evidence, but their experience and what's happening in the now on the show is going to make you want to watch the show.
Actually, that is true. There's only like 3 pieces of evidence shown on a show at most. The rest of it is, I just felt a thing, or Nick's fucking possessed again, or,
And you get to experience that with them by watching it. So,
does that count as evidence?
No, I don't think so at all. A personal experience doesn't prove anything, because you could be putting it on, as does most video and photo evidence as well. Because, I mean, there's so much
editing
going on that God knows what's real out there and what's not.
That's pretty much that. It's not the end of the show, guys. Still got an interview and listeners' questions to talk about. But we're going to cut to the interview pretty much right now, because we've already been gone for quite a while. We need to dish out the rest of this show to you. So it's actually quite funny that we're talking about the shows, because the person that we interviewed is Don Mears from The Spirit Level, from Dojo Media. And he makes a lot of programming about the paranormal, whereas he's not really an investigator himself. He just kind of looks at it all from the outside, though he does admit he's a spiritual person. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to hear us talking to Don Mears, and then after that we're going to talk about what Don Mears had to say, because he brings up some very valid points, some very interesting ones, some absolute brain churners. I don't know what that means, and I'm the only one laughing. I'm sure our very good-looking and non-hideous audience is laughing with me too. All right, we'll be back.
of a paranormal investigation group? Want to find out more about any workshops, courses and events in your area? Are you searching for a paranormal group to join? Or are you after the latest paranormal equipment being sold here in Australia? Then log on to Access Paranormal, where you can find a list of paranormal groups around the country, available jobs, where to buy paranormal equipment, and recommended reading. The website is accessparanormal.com, Australia's chosen paranormal networking website.
At Alpine Nirvana, we are Australia's online suppliers of quality occult products. We have a wide selection of products for spiritual enhancement, protection, cleansing, and divination. Items include smudge sticks, incense, herbs, crystals, books, and coming soon, hoodoo curios. Alpine Nirvana, helping to bridge the gap between the spiritual and the paranormal. www.alpinenirvana.com.au or follow us on Facebook.
Tell us about evidence and looking at evidence and watching things unfold of a potentially paranormal nature. Well, from your perspective, from an outside, I guess, viewpoint.
Well, you see, from someone who is either filming for a promo or filming for a show or filming for something as a camera person, evidence is great because it doesn't necessarily have to be the truth. And there's a big difference between evidence and truth. And that is, the truth is just the truth, although the evidence sometimes wants to be the truth, but, you know, it's not always is. So from my angle, if I go into a situation where I'm working, and that's not to say that I'd do anything devious or anything like that, not at all. It's just a different point of view. If you go in there as a camera person, or if I'm going in there to produce something for a team or something like that, it doesn't help me by going in as a skeptical. That doesn't help me. And if there's a team in there who believe that every raindrop and every boom is something paranormal, it doesn't serve me to actually crash their parade and sober them up to the fact that it might actually be something quite natural that's happening. And I make it a rule that when I do go in and film with teams or groups or promos or whatever it is, that I go in very neutral and very open, and I let them lead the way. I let them and observe them with what they're doing, and if they believe that something's happening, then let them go and let them go and experience it. Whereas if I was a paranormal investigator and I wasn't doing filming, I'm actually probably quite pragmatic about a lot of the things that people would probably call evidence.
Oh, what's your favourite type of evidence? So being a cameraman, be visual with it, or is it sound, or...?
There's very little evidence out there, mate. I mean, very little for cameras, you know. It's harder than fishing, going out and filming this sort of stuff. You can't just sit there and go make things happen. I wish we could, and we're trying to work out how to do that. But I suppose the best, I don't know really. I mean, evidence for me, I find it a very strange word to begin with. What do you call evidence?
For me, it'd be a possible shadow moving across, or I'm not sure. I haven't really seen any evidence that I believe. A few EVPs, which are unexplainable, but other than that, I'm like you. I haven't seen anything convincing.
Well, neither have I. That's the whole... So I'm going to shock you. I sit there and I go, well, you know, I've had lots of strange things happen. I've had some creepy things happen. I had one thing happen. Okay, I'll give you an idea. This isn't evidence, but this is interesting. So I change my term. I don't call it evidence. I just call it interesting. I'd been filming for another show on paranormal reality TV on Roku for an Australian production company. I'd been filming all night and I'd been looking at viewfinder, so my eyes were shot. I'd finished probably about 7:30 in the morning and I'd had about 4 hours sleep. I then got up the next day. I had a meeting at Monte Cristo the next day, so I had to drive about four hours or something. I got to Monte Cristo in the late afternoon, and I was met up with the owners, had dinner with them, And then Reg and Olive, who are the elderly owners there, they decided they wanted to go to Wagga, which is the nearest big town. They had to do some stuff there. So they left at about 6 o'clock at night or 5:30 at night. And then Lawrence, who's the son of the owners, who is my liaison there, he went back to his house. He doesn't live with them. He lives at his own house with his own family. And they just left me in the house alone. And so I was just going to take some photos. And I was outside trying to take time lapses. And, you know, I'm sitting out there, I am seeing things moving in this house. And there's no one in the house. And I know that my eyes are shot. And it's just amazing how your brain starts to tick. So I'm shooting time lapses outside. And I go, well, I want to do a star lap. So I need to go turn off all the lights off in the house now so that the stars are brighter. So I go into the house and I turn off all the lights. And then I start going, okay, well, I've got a time lapse running outside. So I go, well, I'll go inside where the lights are off and I'll just have a walk around. I'll try and get some long exposure shots inside for promo, which I was doing. And I start to hear bangs and booms inside this old place. And there's definitely no one in there at all, in the entire place. I'm laughing, just going, oh, not now. I was in the mood. I was completely shot. So I finished off the time lapse. I went and turned all the lights on inside the place. And I just put headphones on and I was listening to music as I was going around taking more photographs. And yeah, something just in front of me moved while I'm shooting up the staircase. I don't know what it was. And I'm not going to say it was anything paranormal. What I am saying, though, it is amazing what will happen when you're tired, you have a lack of sleep. Is it paranormal? Could it be? I don't know. It's possible. Anything's possible. But it's definitely, I wouldn't call it evidence, but it's interesting.
Well, you don't use the word evidence, and I guess evidence is mainly something you can capture to show someone else. But for yourself, what would it take for you to personally classify an experience as a paranormal experience?
I'd say waking up and having a full body apparition leaning over you would probably be a good start. I think that would probably be in anyone's books something that would be very interesting, or even better, not to be asleep at all. So then you couldn't write off as that you were still asleep, perhaps, but actually being somewhere and seeing something to do. I suppose a human figure, it's a bit of a cliche, really. But are we talking about paranormal? There are spiritual experiences as well. There are things that, you know, there are lots of things that I've seen in my life that, don't get me wrong, I'm not a skeptic. I've seen some really odd things. And some of the more stranger things have not been to do with ghosts, you know, but they are still spiritual and they could still probably be paranormal, you know. So I don't know. What would you say would be yours?
For myself, what would convince me?
Mm.
Well, I guess I personally am a skeptic. Well, I like to believe I'm starting to bend. I guess it's anything that leaves me questioning my own beliefs that the paranormal's mainly in people's heads,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. I don't think people are crazy, and I don't think people... Well, some people do lie, and some people are crazy, let's just face it. But I guess anything that starts making me waver in my own, I guess, personal convictions and personal standings in, well, my beliefs. So, and that has been happening, that... You know, I'm not such a staunch skeptic anymore.
Some of the areas that would, for an individual, if it was you or me or whatever, people that suffer, or I say the word suffer because they do, when you actually have a good, when you read a lot of the material, people who seem to suffer from the alien abduction enigma, that seems to be a horrific sort of a thing that really is quite haunting. That's something that when you do go through the material, it doesn't look like it's something you'd want to wish on your worst enemy. That would be something that would really question whether it was paranormal or psychological, and you could really go either way, probably more into the psychological even. But when you actually do hear of people that go through this, some of the reports, and they're so adamant about what is happening, that is an oddity, and that is a curiosity to me as well.
I got a question here, and Paul rocked up tonight with all these bits of paper, and I'm going to ask you about this, what he's brought in. And you talked about convincing people with evidence. Now, Paul's brought in a whole bunch of stuff about different competitions around the world. If you convince this person or that person that you have a paranormal ability or a psychic power or something like that, that you can win some money. James Randi's got a fairly famous one.
Yeah.
$1 million if you convince him of something, well, supernatural, paranormal. Do you think in your own mind that this prize money is ever going to be claimed? Do you think there is a possibility that anyone's going to be able to prove to a hardened skeptic like James Randi, or even someone like yourself, like that this is something supernatural, this is it, I've got it right here in my hand?
That's a tough question, actually. I don't know. I think that the skeptical people, especially ones that are ruthlessly skeptical, are terrible. I'm not a skeptic. Don't be wrong. I'm not a skeptical. I am very open to it. I'm a very spiritual person and come from a spiritual background. But a skeptical person, someone who, and I have friends and I know exactly the type, the personality types you're talking about, and I don't think you can ever convince someone. I think the only way that someone can be convinced of anything, whether it is the paranormal, whether it is religion or belief in God, whether it's the lack of belief in God, I think it comes through personal experience. And I always put it down to, did you ever see that movie with Jodie Foster in it called, what was it called? It was, not communion.
Contact.
Contact. I thought that was a really poignant film where at the end they had her in the capsule that was going to be dropped through the rotating discs, and she dropped through and she was gone for 18 hours and she had this amazing experience where she met this other being that was came to her as her father and just really blew her apart. And yet the people that were monitoring it digitally had 3 seconds or, you know, 2.5 seconds and they actually thought it was a failed experiment. So the point is that I don't know if you can convince anyone else. I think you really need to sort out whether you can convince yourself or whether this is going to be a personal sort of experience for yourself. I think that's the best that any of us can do. As far as the money goes, I don't think it's in their best interest to ever give the money away. There have been some pretty amazing things when you read up and you do a bit of research with James Randi and some of the things that have sort of happened there. They've had some pretty interesting results, but every time that it gets interesting, they start to put the rules and regulations, get a little bit more stringent, a little bit more harder, and, you know, to the point of almost being impossible. So, no, I don't think they're ever going to give away $1 million.
Okay.
That means they'd have to admit that they're wrong.
Yeah, so they're not going to give the money away, not due to fault of people trying to present the supernatural, but on the person testing them.
Possibly. it's going to oscillate depending on whose needs need to be fitted that day.
Yeah. So, yes, that was Don Mears talking about some of his experiences, some of the evidence that, well, he hasn't got and hasn't witnessed to convince him, and a little at the end there about some of these competitions that exist out there where if you can prove the paranormal or supernatural ability or power, you can win up to $1 million from Mr. James Randi. So that's what he was talking about at the end there. But I think the interesting thing that Don says is he doesn't call it evidence. He calls it interesting. Now, is that more of a more valid thing to call what we pick up?
It's a really hard question to answer. It doesn't matter what you call it. At the end of the day, Don was exactly right. We're all after that personal experience because it's proof to ourselves that we're really after. We're not going to prove it to anyone else unless we can prove it to ourselves first. So evidence comes from personal experience first, I believe, and then matures.
I don't see why everyone wants to prove that it exists, okay? Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? What's the big deal? If you have a personal experience, that should be your own evidence. Why do you have to give that evidence and force a belief on somebody else?
It's like, not somebody else. It could be yourself. So, I mean, for example, I'm not opposed to it, but I'm not sure if everything we're feeling is real. So, is it some sort of pareidolia? Is it some sort of effect from EMF? Is it some sort of infrasound effect on our minds? I'm not sure. I want proof for myself first, and if I can capture on tape and claim that $1 million, I'd love it.
He did mention something very briefly, sort of in the beginning of when he was talking about, you know, make sure you're not tired or make sure you're not asleep when you saw it. Well, there is a recognised hypnopompic and hypnagogic forms of sleep, isn't it? Like just before you go to sleep and just before you wake up, that's when people say that they've had some kind of evidence. But yeah, I agree with Tash. I don't think we desperately need to prove it to anybody else. Yeah, if we can capture it and if we see it, then that should be enough.
Poor tech guy. Okay. You have a lot of gear to try and capture it so you can show other people, but people are saying that you should... You can't be telling me that you're only doing this for yourself.
Not only for myself. Yeah. Of course, I want that $1 million if I can get it eventually. But like I said, I'm not a skeptic per se. I do want to know what's real, and I'm out to prove it to myself first, and if I can prove it to someone else in the process, that'd be great.
What about something he was... go, Tad. Get in there.
I just wanted to say that it was pretty interesting for him to say about when he was tired that he noticed something. And Debbie mentioned about the whatever word she said. I personally believe in that experience that he had. Maybe he was more, didn't have that barrier up to expect something. You know, when you go to a location... And you put up a barrier because you just want to experience it that much, and that's why you don't. So I think in that, maybe that's the reason why that people are experiencing paranormal and stuff in that time frame, because they don't have that barrier up and they're not trying to prove it or you know.
I do want to try that technique where just wear music as well. I thought that was a great idea. Just listen to music while you're walking around some of these locations.
Yeah.
Close off from those bangs and
his mind was elsewhere, wasn't it?
And
we're going to do an episode on sensory deprivation and hunting for the paranormal, I think. So I think there's definitely some very interesting things to talk about there.
Is it going
to
involve alcohol?
It may.
Awesome.
Man, I got invited to an investigation with a previous team where the people there were saying the ghosts only appeared when everyone was drunk, so you never know. We'll talk about this. I had one other thing to say, but I forgot.
Sorry.
That's okay. Hold on, I've got. Ah, that's right. Another thing that Don was kind of, and now I don't know whether he was leading to this per se, but kind of what I picked up from what he was saying is some people are not going to believe paranormal evidence until they themselves have had a paranormal experience. Do you think that's true? Do you think, I guess, people that have experienced the paranormal have more of a bias to accepting evidence than people who haven't?
Definitely. Jinx.
Paul can't talk. Oh, I said his name. So you do. So yeah, so there you go. So what we were saying at the end with the competition, James Randi's probably never going to accept this evidence. Never going to give away the money because he hasn't
He's
not open to it.
Well, he hasn't experienced it for himself, for starters, so he's not going to believe it.
Yeah. I think the best way to be is unbiased, not towards and not after, and I think with these competitions that's going to be impossible because they're there made by people who obviously do not believe in this stuff.
I think you could put a poltergeist into a jar, give it to him, let him open it, and the whole room starts spinning around, and he wouldn't give you the money.
I'm going to get him on the show. I will. I'll get him on the show for season two. We're going to open up James Randi. That's a promise, everybody.
I have no idea who this guy is.
That's okay. He's an ex-magician who now tests people to see whether their abilities are legitimate or whether they're just frauds.
Can I be in on that? I'd love that.
Yeah. We're going to get him on.
There's about 50, 60 people offering money all around the world for evidence.
He has the largest prize of $1 million. There are some which, you know, in the tens of thousands, but
hundreds of thousands as well. So,
$1 million,
oh yeah,
yeah, he'll give it. He's probably insured.
I'm gonna be surfing eBay and I'm gonna buy a poltergeist in a bottle.
There you go. We'll try to get him with that.
Don't pay more than $9.95.
Yeah, but we're gonna take a quick break. When we get back, we'll have the listener's question and then we'll finish the show. So we'll see you back in a second, everybody.
Introducing Ghost Shack, Australia's first exclusive paranormal equipment web store, providing Aussies with many of the sought-after materials to delve into paranormal exploration. Ghost Shack currently offers items such as IR lights and full-spectrum digital cameras, mel meters, pods, full-spectrum illuminators, and much more. If we don't have what you're looking for, we will endeavour to provide it for you. Ghost Shack prides itself on providing Aussies with high-quality products at prices unmatched across the globe. Check us out at ghostshack.com.au or find us on Facebook.
Okay, guys, we're back. We're going to get through this quite quickly because we're running over time. We usually try to keep for half an hour. Our shows generally go for 50 minutes. This one's going to go a little bit longer, so yeah, I hope you enjoy the extra time. So the listener's question this week comes from Pete Banks, all the way from Appy, who asks us, if you think you've caught something pretty phenomenal, evidence-wise, what process do you go through to try to debunk that evidence, or an experience even? Let's say it was something on video. Well, let's not say it's on video. Let's do it, just so we're only answering one question, not breaking off to 100 other things. So, guys, we're going to start with the tech guy, and we're going to work our way around. Paul.
Okay.
Video evidence, how would you go about trying to debunk it?
Well, you got to try to recreate it. Whatever you get, you have to recreate it in a controlled environment and try to get that experience, which is captured, to recreate itself somehow. Otherwise, it's pretty hard.
Dash.
I really don't care what other people think, so I will... sorry if this sounds really rude. If I was there and I experienced it and it was captured as evidence, that's up to me as to whether you believe it or not. It's up to you if you believe it or not. I'm not going to try and convince you. If you don't believe it, bad luck.
Yeah, having filmed something myself, yeah, I would have loved to have had the opportunity to try and recreate it, see if it would happen again, yeah, for sure.
So all you can is debunk, but you can never go through that process to prove it's paranormal at the same time, because it's probably not going to happen. Unless you get really very lucky, you can recreate those footsteps in a controlled environment, and with those controls, be able to determine, no, it wasn't anything mundane, it was nothing natural. So, yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, so Paul's got it. That's how we would do it. We would try to go to the same location, same time if possible, even the same people, the same whatever's happened, same weather if we can, same bloody moon phase, whatever, and try to redo it again. And if we get those, say, footsteps or that shadow, and we can determine that it was, okay, this person doing that, it was this floorboard doing this or whatever, then you can debunk it.
That's right. Essentially. And we spend a lot of time debunking anything we have, so that's why we don't have that much evidence.
That's right.
I don't understand why you'd want to debunk anyone's experience.
Not anyone's, our own.
Yeah.
I'm not debunking any of my own experience. It's my experience.
Well, Paul will do it for you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's okay. You can do that.
Otherwise, it's an experience, not evidence again.
Yeah.
But yeah, we don't put up a lot of evidence. If you go on our website, I don't think we've got any. But what we're going to do, and what I want to do, is start putting things up, and to use Dom's word, that are interesting, and let you guys decide for yourselves what it is. We'll try to give you as much background information on what it was, and see if you can debunk it, go for it. If not, if you just want to hear it, think it's interesting, excellent. So guys, anything else you want to add on this show before
I'd like to thank Don, because that was a great... I had some great conversations with him, and some of the stuff he said afterwards was really interesting, so I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of that interview as well.
That's right, we'll have that up this Friday, which to people listening after this Friday doesn't matter, because it'll already be there. The full interview goes for about 50 minutes and we'll be there. Now, as always, to end the show, I just lost my headphones, but I'm still being read on the computer. That is fine. Okay, if you ever want to find The Paranormal Guide, that is quite easy. You can go to www.theparanormalguide.net, or you can go to facebook.com/theparanormalguide, or you can call the mobile. We don't get many callers. Someone call me, I'm lonely. 0437-233-729. Yeah, and we want to hear all your comments, want to hear your feedback. Tell us we're crap and we don't know what we're talking about. Tell us that we don't know what we're talking about. We're just experienced. We're not experts, guys. You know, we're always out and about. Go on our website, go on the Facebook, and we'll all tell you where we're going. We do all sorts of stuff. We do events, we do meets, we do public investigations sometimes. We do all sorts of stuff, guys. And of course, we love your questions for future podcasts. Look out for them too. So, I'm saying goodbye.
See you later.
See you on the streets, guys.
Happy hunting.
A big thank you to Todd Sibben and The Opposite Ends, and we're playing track 3 from their EP, Lies, Lies and Lies.
I'm never wrong about all the little things that come and tear my hair out. And I can pinch believe me. Well, all along it'd be used to turn to she's with all the speculation here. And she can't see life in the flames of the truth. She's hating all of the thoughts and pains. And I stay but wanna leave. You know it's killing me. Well, it's self-destruction. Oh, you know she hurts everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Oh, oh. She burns everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Oh no, no, it's cursed everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Yeah, no, no, but there ain't no truth in all these lies, 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 lies. Oh, and I've been raising fists up. Every day that I barely have the strength to deal with mine, confrontations, and all I have is old words that I can say, man, the repetition changes visions into fabrications. Oh, she don't like any way and I don't like anything that I see. She says I couldn't believe, you know I don't believe words anymore. Oh, no. She hurts everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Oh, oh. She burns everybody with the lies, lies, lies. And I'm not, it's cursed everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Oh no, no, but there ain't no truth in all these lies, 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 lies. She could ever take, and she says, leave me here for dead. Yeah, but that don't bring relief, it only feeds the culprits. And she says, it's all about the shell. Hell, I'll show you something ugly just for pulling up the carpet. And I thought we're better than before, yeah. But now it only seems we're digging deeper in it. And you know, she hurts everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Oh, oh, yeah. She burns everybody with the lies, lies, lies. Oh, no, no. You know, it's cursed everybody with the lies, lies, lies. And no, no. There ain't no truth in all these lies.